Hello, everyone. Again, welcome to the Blessings of Christ on this 10th day of April, which is Palm Sunday. It's a very special day that we regard as a day of triumph for our faith, a day of triumph for our Lord Jesus Christ, who entered Jerusalem knowing the challenge that he had laid before him, knowing that it was his destiny to face that challenge, but not yet actually knowing what the final resolution would be. He wouldn't have asked in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, let this pass, or Father, what should I do, if he knew. It was not revealed to him until the end of the prayer and the approach of the Roman soldiers. And next week, we're going to talk about that story because it's one of the most commonly inquired about stories, because it's very disturbing to the human psyche. We don't want to feel guilty about our faith, and there's nothing to be guilty about. We don't want to think the one who loved us the most suffered so badly. We don't like to think that. It hurts us. And so we ask, and we ask again. And I'm going to give you an answer which for the first time ever will satisfy your curiosity. And you will know that it was, in fact, the will of God and what the Son of God came here to do. So we're going to hold that for next week. But for now, we're going to start our day with conversations from one another. I'd like to hear from you. I want to know how you're doing. I want to know what you need. And I'd like to be here to help you present those needs to Yeshua, to our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. Because as we present our needs, they honor them. And it's really up to us to present our needs to them. Because otherwise, they just look at us as a perfect child, which they created. So why would we have any needs at all? You see, they don't project into us any level of deficiency, any level of incompleteness, any level of hurt. They don't project anything less than fulfilled and perfect into our being. So they wait for us to announce it when we need it, as we need it, as we desire it. And I'm hoping to help you get more comfortable with that, because it's very important. Yeshua instructed the apostles about that and the impossibility of being heard unless you speak. So you don't always have to speak with your voice, but you do have to speak with your heart. And you do have to let your needs be known as they happen. So we're going to open our lines now. And Jerome is on the line. Jerome, we are opening your line now. Well, my goodness, Jerome. Okay. Well, I guess we'll just have to go in order. you are here, Jerome, but we've got someone else first. It's Elizabeth. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi. I think my line was just open. My name is Francesca.
Oh, Francesca. Hello.
Yeah. Hi, how are you? Glenda, I just want to say I was so inspired by you know, the talk you gave last week, and the conversation. It felt like it was just like what I needed to hear. And it was just so inspiring. I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, I'm so glad. What touched you the most, Francesca?
You know, I think it's that, you talked a lot about destiny, and you talked about, bringing the light of Yeshua into the world and mm-hmm. you know, that we have to be at a higher vantage point. You know,
uh-huh.
I think kind of what I came away with from it was that, you know, sometimes it can be so easy to be pulled into the drama around us
mm-hmm.
and kind of we then forget that, you know, that we can really come from a higher perspective and instead remember who we are and to bring, you know, the light of Yeshua into the world instead of being pulled in, you know, to like whatever might be going on around us.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I can reinforce that from two different similar passages of Yeshua. One is, and also Albert Einstein said the same thing, you cannot solve a problem from the level of the problem. The problem was actually created by the level in which it exists. Have you noticed that individual problems are just a reflection of the context in which they exist? Yeah.
Yes.
And so we have to rise above the context in order to find the answer.
Yeah.
That's one thing I wanted to say and remind you that Yeshua had spoken of. And of course he spoke from the highest of spiritual levels. But at the same time, Albert Einstein said the same thing about mathematical problems. So apparently it's common to all dimensions of the universe. The other thing I wanted to reflect upon that you said, which is very, very important, and that has to do with destiny. And this refers back to the fact that we were taught by Yeshua that our universe was created out of love and light by our Heavenly Father, from nothing but the purest base of energy. Evil did not come into the universe until way, way, way down the line of derivative creations, complications, and levels of existence we didn't actually fully understand. It was not part of the original formula of the universe. Therefore, destiny cannot be anything but good. And all things created out of evil will eventually just fade away, disappear, or self-destruct. We've seen that throughout history, no matter how powerful it looked at the moment, such as the Roman Empire. It faded out and it gave way to a small group of people that became known as the early Christians. They conquered the Roman Empire, not with weapons or war or invasion. They conquered it with love and community. And that's the way it happened and appeared. And look at it today. We have approximately 5 billion in the world and counting. So not everything that will survive and be successful was created out of Christianity, because that's a practice of faith. But it is created out of goodness. And everything created out of goodness will last. And it will prosper. And it will be here for your children and your grandchildren to see and observe. Over a course of time, it will probably change its forms in numerous ways. But you'll never lose sight of its roots, which were created with good motivation, right orientation, and positive creation. So that's what Yeshua was referring to as destiny. When it's your destiny, it will have been created out of some form of goodness. And it will be in the direction of positive creation and productivity. That's how you can tell. It's easy to tell if you really have that reflection and that point of view. And that's what we try to reinforce in our blessings and our sentiments in the blessings and everything that people bring to the blessings. You bring faith, hope, charity, optimism, productivity, and positive answers. When you do that, it shows up in the results you receive in life. And now maybe it doesn't happen overnight, because sometimes the good growth of grass takes a little while to overcome the weeds in your yard. I've told the stories many times in the past, but not recently. So I think it's worth telling again. When in my first year living on the vineyard, we were on a very sandy acreage because that's what grapes love. Their roots need the drainage that sand provides, and then the cushion underneath that roots hold to hold the nutrients. It's a perfect combination for grapes. It's also a perfect combination for grassburrs. Grassburrs just love it. And I had a yard full of grassburrs when I moved there that year. And I thought 3 or 4 times about how to handle it, because I could go in with a tiller, but I would just be planting the seeds. And the seeds of the grassburrs would just come back again and again and again. So I remembered something that my uncle had told me about his ranch when he was planting Coastal Bermuda. I come from a long line of farmers and ranchers, and they were very benevolent toward their crops and their herds. I learned a lot of good things about life from them, and this was one of the things I learned. And he said, just plant the grass and feed it. It will overtake all of the weeds. And I said, why? Don't people talk about something growing like weeds? And he said, well, weeds do grow, but they don't respond to nutrition. They grow through opportunity and sunlight and aggressive extensions of roots and limbs that spread their seeds. Grass prospers on nutrition. So he said, plant the grass seed and then feed it lots of nitrogen and other forms of nutrition. And it will outgrow and weed out the grass burrs. So I just followed my uncle's instructions. I spread the grass everywhere. I watered it. Oh, the other thing, too, is that he said I'd water it. Because he said weeds don't grow on water. They grow on sunlight. And they've learned to adapt to harsh conditions, because that's where they had some value to life. Weeds grew where grasses couldn't prosper. And so they would help to bring nitrogen to the soil. So that God had his plan for weeds, but not on your front lawn or not in the cow pasture. Okay? So he said, water it profusely. Nurture it profusely. In other words, add all the goodness to the grass seeds. It took only one season, and there were so few grass burrs that sprouted up. What I did is I sat on the lawn with a bucket, and I dug them out. I didn't want to cut them off because that would just spread the seeds. I dug them out. I put them in the bucket, and then I disposed of them. Okay. And the second year, I had no grass burrs in my lawn. So it may take some time for goodness to overtake the encroachment of weeds in your garden. Just be patient and keep feeding it. In most situations, human situation, I would say feeding consists of love, encouragement, reinforcement with maybe paychecks, maybe gifts, maybe things that help this situation or this person along in life. And you'll find you're growing a friend. You're growing an ally. You're growing a positive community of people that unite together. And in their union, there's just no place for negativity. And negativity will just walk off and go somewhere else that it seems to have a value. So that, you know, there is actually a destiny for weeds, and that's on the desert. They can grow where nothing else can because they were equipped for it. And actually, God does not want his desert to go completely without foliage or shade for plants that animals that could benefit from it, from the little the lizards and the other cold-blooded animals, the reptiles that need that cover, and the earth that needs a little bit more nitrogen. So he had a plan for the weeds. He just didn't have a plan for them where you are. They don't belong in your territory. So we don't have to be negative about them. We just have to be realistic about them. And even the people that are negative in your environment, maybe they need to go somewhere that they can learn their lessons. Maybe they need to go where they can help people turn life around and find a way to turn their own life around. Sometimes you just have to put peers with peers. Peers with peers, and they do better. I have a friend who's growing fish in a very hard country that has severe starvation problems. And, you know, we might criticize fish farms in our culture because we have better ways, but it's one of the best ways there for getting nutrition to people. And he is absolutely almost fanatic about keeping his ponds clean. He says we can't let them live and eat in dirty water. We have to keep them clean. And then he was filtering out the big from the small, and he was telling me about that. He said, we got to put the peers together because the peers take care of each other. And if they're not together, they'll overeat the food the little ones need. And so, you know, we think about social judgment sometimes and think it's all negative. Well, a lot depends on the attitude and the intention about it. Peers learn from peers. Peers feed peers. Peers help and assist peers. And I said, well, what do the big ones do together? And he said, well, they coexist and they keep each other from getting too fat. We don't want fat fish. They're not healthy. And you know what? That's exactly what our farmers tell us over here. We don't want fat fish. So what they do is they cut down their feed, or they change their feed and give them feed with artificial content in it. Well, what they're doing over there is they're putting the big ones with the big ones, and they keep them from getting fat, and they exercise each other. And I was going, oh, my gosh. Nature takes care of this if we'd only just learn. But see, that's what I want to tell you now. Oh, you know, along these lines, I had a solicitor come by yesterday, and he was raising funds for hardship situations. And I made a contribution, and I asked him a little more about how this works. And he says, well, you know, we create jobs for people. And we put kids with other kids who have the same problems, and they teach each other, and they support each other. And we take them out of situations where bullies are dominating them. We want to put kids together that take care of each other. And it just occurred to me, that's the same doggone thing, you know? It's not placing a judgment. It's allowing people to help each other in common situations. Well, actually, going back 2,000 years ago, this is what the early Christians did. They took care of each other. And they met in tunnels and in underground burial sites and in lodges that nobody knew about, you know, that were like dens. And they would meet and they would bring bread, and they would cook, and they would take care of each other. And they got plentiful. They got strong, and they got courageous. And they knew that the Lord was with them. And they became triumphant. they grew together into the most triumphal group of people that have ever walked on the earth. So, you know, I think what we just need to understand is that your destiny is goodness. Find where your goodness can bloom. Your destiny is not to be bullied or overtaken by people who berate you or make you feel little, and to move to people who are joined with you is not a judgment. It's a progression of love doing its thing, a progression of nourishment being provided one to another. And we need to find this for ourselves, because in that we find hope. You know, it's just like kids in school. They're smart to gravitate toward friends that support them and say, yeah, you're doing a great job. Let's do it together. And they move away from the bullies. And the bullies are, well, we have to love them too, but let them deal with the other bullies and find out what it's like. They might learn a lesson or two. Okay, they might learn that it's better to support one another rather than dominate one another. So we all have lessons to teach each other. And let us move into groups where we're going to teach each other the lessons of life. And that's really what Yeshua was meaning when he said, love your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Well, your neighbor is somebody who lives in a house like yours, who works in similar businesses to you, who either takes the train to work or drives to work or takes the bus to work. It's the person you sit next to in life, and it's the person you eat next to. Maybe you eat next to someone who goes to McDonald's, and that's okay. You eat in McDonald's, that's fine. Make your friends there. You eat in a high-end restaurant, that's okay. Make friends with everybody, including the waiters, including the people that clean up the table. Make friends with everybody. Leave good tips. Appreciate what they do. Wherever you go is your neighbor. Wherever people are serving you is your neighbor. Wherever people are joining you is your neighbor. And that's a really big lesson to learn from that teaching of Yeshua. Okay, we're going to move on, because did you have your question fully addressed, my dear?
I did, thank you. And I just want to ask you a blessing for myself, for myself and my work situation, and which Yeshua knows about, just for some assistance. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And all of you working together, all right, you're a community right now. Love one another. And actually, through loving those who receive your love, those who are not oriented to love will notice perhaps they don't belong, and they will move to where they find their peers. That's one of the really, really great ways of feeding the garden. Okay. We're going to take a next question from,
hi.
I think, hi, now Jerome, hi.
Yes, thank you for everything you've just said, too. It was a great reminder. We had great times last night down at the part of our town where we gathered together to share our love and light with a beautiful concert, and in between, before the concert, we went to eat, and we met all kinds of people getting ready to go there, and at the concert, it was just priceless with the symphony, and then today, this morning, we tuned into our church, too, and it was just to again, share the light and love, compassion and joy that we all are together. And we got to feel that energy. We got to feel the love and the light. We got to feel it. And up here,
yes.
It's still snow. We still have snow, so nature's taking its own course. And, but
well, it is. And you could make a snow angel in the snow.
There's an angel in the snow. We still see some angels all over. But we get to share the angels anyway. And the light of
yes, Mama you Peter. Do. Okay, Jerome, thank you so much for your love and your light, your joy and your encouragement. We love you so much.
Well, and we love you so much. So thank you, thank you. And keep up the good work of God's light and love and peace and joy. Blessings.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's see who we have next on our call. I think it may be Carolyn. This new system doesn't always tell me who's here. Okay,
let me see.
I think it's Thomas. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm the first time on this call, and I found it by way of my wife. And she received your book, Love Without End, from a friend earlier this month, the beginning of the month or the end of last month. And she began to read the book, and I did as well. We happened to be in Dallas, and her birthday was Monday, so we were visiting on last Sunday to the location.
Well, give her happy birthday wishes. Okay,
well, thank
me.
You. Thank you very much. And so we were we didn't check the information correctly about what was there. Apparently the lamb and the lion is not being displayed anymore, the location, and it and the other paintings, we understand they need a new home, a new help, so we look forward to see them at some time, and I'm calling just to say thank you, but also we look forward to see them, and besides our prayers, what we may need or want to know about what we can do to help that ministry of those paintings to be
well. Thank you, Thomas.
Okay.
I'm curious, which paintings are you thinking do not have a home?
Well, we're not sure yet because we attempted to make a follow up with the wife of the pastor who deceased last fall from the Christ Truth League. And
The Lamb and the Lion is still there.
Okay, we were informed we weren't able to go inside, so we heard.
Oh, you actually went there. All right. Well,
we
it is there. What has happened is that two ministers have passed on in the last the last 2 years, and there's no one supervising it daily, but they are still having Sunday services.
Okay. We're
at least to the best of my knowledge, I will call. But I have heard from a few who've gone over. The painting is still beautiful and radiant, and the only problem is the visiting hours are very limited right now, and I don't know exactly how that is at the moment.
That helps to clarify. We need to find out what those hours are then.
Yes. I have actually not been able to call them recently. I don't get through either on a telephone, but I've talked to people who do. So I'm hearing second person about the painting, and that's a little frustrating, but I understand it's still well cared for and protected. So maybe I'll have news for you later, or you can. Are you in Fort Worth?
I'm in Dallas, but driving
in Dallas.
Distance to Fort Worth.
Okay, we'll keep calling, and I hope you get through.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Oh, by the way, the portrait of Yeshua is still in my possession. The portrait of the first light is still in my possession. And and the others are hopefully safely hanging on the walls of a chapel. So we'll let you know if we need some assistance with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And, you know, this is really a treat for me, hearing that people are still getting Love Without End for the first time. It's such a thrill because, you know, this book was first released in 1998. And we were celebrating our 20th anniversary in that year. So it's a thrill to me, and I know it's going to be here for a long time to come, because this isn't my message to the world, it's His message. And I just step back as a steward of the work, and we offer His presence as a blessing to the world. So it's really great to have you, Thomas, and your wife. Thank you for speaking and letting us know from you today. It's a treat. It's a real treat.
Yes. It's a blessing to finally find it for both of us who I'm actually a native of Dallas, and I've learned about it within the last month. And
great.
It's a blessing to my wife. She received the book from somebody else.
I hope you get to see it in person. It's really an amazing, presence that words just get described. It really is.
I'm very encouraged. We're very blessed by both. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, keep trying. All right.
Okay.
I'm gonna take another caller because we only have a limited amount of time. So we're opening the call to our next caller now. And that is let's see, who is it?
I'm here, Glenda. I think it's the Bootsy.
It's Carolyn. Hello. You may need to unmute your own phone. Hello.
Hi. I heard someone else on the line as well. So I thank you for the work you're doing. And I'm currently out hiking. This is communing with the land is where I find peace. And something you said at the beginning about connecting with others kind of sat heavy on my chest, that I do things alone. It's kind of my preference, and have difficulty connecting with others. And wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, Carolyn, I wasn't limiting others to the human race. It could be others in spirit. It could be others of the earth, of the animal kingdom, and the plant kingdom.
Okay.
Purely, you are. No one gets here. No one stays here alone. So you are connected to some others. You just need to find out which others you're connected with. And they love you, or you wouldn't be here. You couldn't be here. So just inquire into your life. Are these spiritual others? Are they others of the earth, of the animal plant kingdom, the angel kingdom? Who are the others? You do have others, my dear.
Thank you. That's helpful.
We all do. We all do. And this is not to imply anything other than positive potential within you. But it's been learned for many decades, actually, that the rehabilitation of people with serious and chronic illnesses or social aversions, avoidance, have been brought back into life and the living by adopting a plant, a simple plant, or a pet, or anything that really inspires them to assist life and to recognize it when it comes. Books have been written on this. I mean, volumes have been written on this. I remember one time when I was a little depressed about some conditions I won't go into. You know, we all have conditions, and we don't have to itemize what caused it. But I was a little bit depressed, and so I decided to go paint, because painting is an other for me. It's some, the kingdom of beauty is an other I can always count on. And when I was painting, a little fly came and landed on my paintbrush. It was a little baby fly. And I looked at him, and I spoke to him. And he just flew over and sat on my shoulder and watched me paint. And I talked to the fly while I painted. And then after that, he flew off eventually. And, of course, I just thanked him for being there. But after that day, for a long period of time, I would say a matter of weeks, if I saw a fly in my house, I would extend my finger, my hand, and I would say, come get on my finger and I'll take you out. And he would come and get on my finger and I would take him out. So I guess, you know, I developed a friendship with the kingdom of the flies. And they liked me and I liked them. I took him out, rescued them, let them go. Eventually that kind of faded off, but still, every now and then, I'll see a little fly in a little bit of trouble, and I'll say, come get on my finger. I'll take you somewhere else. I'll take him to a blade of grass or something where he can at least enjoy his last moments on the earth and maybe possibly rejuvenate. So don't judge what others have to be. Maybe you just haven't been in a benevolent connection with some people you've known, and you pulled away from them, and then you felt wounded.
That's helpful. I do connect with the earth a lot, and I'm hiking. Nature always provides, and
yeah,
it brings me to peace.
See, that's what you're doing right now. Exactly what you're doing. And I've done that too. You know, I think Yeshua did that too when he went to the desert. Not because he didn't love all of humanity, but just think, for a moment, just think of the thousands that crowded him for a miracle, for food, for healing. You know, even the Son of God could get overwhelmed. And, you know, the last thing he would ever want to do was push somebody away. So what he had to do is go to where the simple gestures of just coexisting were enough for the life around him. You know, there wouldn't be any group of weeds overwhelming him or any group of lizards crowding him in for food or a blessing. He'd just say hello, they'd say, oh, hi, how you doing? Thanks for being here, and they go on their way. You know, he needed some peace. Every now and then we all do, and it's not a judgment when you pull away just to reconnect with yourself and with God and with life. Here's the important thing. Here's the really important thing to know whether it's a positive thing you're doing or something you might need therapy for. And Yeshua tells about it in the chapter called Success in Life. He says, follow life in the living. That's what you're doing. Whenever you go, wherever you go, whatever you do, if you're following life in the living, is a good thing to do. And you don't have to judge it any further. It's a good thing to do. That's all you have to think about. Am I following, liking, or living? And maybe when you're surrounded and overwhelmed by people, you don't feel like you're following, liking, or living because you're putting armor around yourself. You're in a state of avoidance. You're in a state of overwhelm and not liking the experience. That's not following, liking, or living. You need to go where you're following life and the living. And that gets back to everything else I said today about destiny being the goodness that propels itself through your life. Same thing. And it may be you need some healing. That's okay. We all need healing from time to time. That's not something to judge yourself for. Maybe you need some peace. Maybe you need just to regroup your life. Okay. Look for the blessings that are coming for you in that situation and under those conditions. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you for bringing that question up, because I bet a lot of other people every now and then have that situation come upon them, and they wonder, well, what am I doing? Am I just being antisocial? Am I just not getting on with people? No, you just need a break. You need to find life somewhere else. We're going to take the next caller.
Okay.
Okay. And we have Stephen. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Glenda. I just wanted to get on here and just ask for a blessing for a great man who just passed over, Cliff Freer. He was a high school coach of mine and teacher, and I was fortunate enough to be at the funeral a couple days ago and connected with his family and a whole bunch of old friends. And anyway, he was really just a wonderful guy. He just impacted so many people in such positive ways. So I just wanted to ask for a blessing for him and his family at this time. So thanks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure he's in a very blessed area right now. But let's also ask a blessing for his legacy. Because people who have laid great work and inspiration on the world, let's just see it continue for another few generations. Let's see it continue through his friends, the students who were impacted, his family, and everyone who knew him.
Yeah, amen. Thank you.
Becomes a destiny for other people.
Yeah, thanks. He was a real big sort of father figure to me growing up. So, it's wonderful when we get to connect with people like that. You know, they live on for sure through their legacy. Yep.
They do. And their lives are a legacy, truly. Okay, my dear. Well, it's so good to hear your voice and glad to hear you have a little happy ring in it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's always great to be on this call, and
it is.
I look forward to hopefully we can all get together in person sometime soon.
I am going to plan for that. Everybody hold that as a blessing for our community. I really, really want us to connect physically this year, even if everybody can't be there. You know what? Everybody who comes will probably know five other people who come to the call. And we extend the connection that way. We need to come together and offer. And I don't think there's ever been a time in this world where we needed to send blessings out to the world more.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, okay, we're going to take another caller, and I know you'll be giving the blessing with us, Stephen. Bye-bye. Next caller, and we have on our call Meredith.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi. Mary Beth, how are you doing?
Yes, Mary Beth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been wanting to ask you if you could put a friend on your blessing call for me, please, or blessing board. Her name is Kathy, and she has MS, and I've been helping her out a little bit. And what is so strange about her situation is she's got a 93-year-old dad that is taking care of her. And I tell you, I have just have enjoyed both of them so much that they're just so, they inspire me so much because they just take care of each other. And I just love it. But I want to put them on the prayer board because I really feel like they could use it.
I wish I could, Mary Beth. I'm really limited in my, oh, let me see. There's another button I can click. Let's see if I, okay. All right. I've got now everybody on the call. What is their name?
Kathy and Larry.
Kathy and Larry. Okay. Let me just. Yeah. Scroll. We got a lot of people on the call, so I got to scroll down. You know, you inspired me to look for a function I didn't know I had.
Oh.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Okay. I'm still looking. Kathy and Larry. Well, we got a lot of people to scroll through here, but I'm still looking. Well, I didn't see them.
I'd like to put a call on the board.
Oh, I have a couple of restricted callers, anonymous.
Oh.
Maybe, you know, that might be one. Can you help them just get on the call? I will take another caller right now, and you work with them and see if you can get them on the call, okay?
Okay, I sure will, Glenda, and I thank you so much. And I can tell you're doing so much better in your new home and everything, and I'm so happy that you're getting settled and just being happy.
I am. I mean, I'm glad it shows in my voice because, and in everything, my life is coming together again. And I knew it would. I knew it would, but sometimes, you know, when you're going through white water, you just have to have faith because you can't see your destiny on the walls of the cliff. You got to keep going down the stream.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, it makes it hard sometimes when you're going through things like that and people are constantly asking you what the end result is going to be, and you don't know.
No. Well, fortunately, God does. So you just have to keep your connection strong, real strong, because, you know, God's got a straight line. You know what? First thing he said on creation is, let there be light. Well, let me tell you something about light. It flows in a straight line. He's always got a straight line. Down through eternity, he's got a straight line. But we were born of the earth and infilled the spirit. Being born of the earth, what is the earth? It's curved. The earth is curved. It's a ball. And we can't see. Just get up on the highest tower and you look over that horizon. You can see larger and larger distances the higher you get, which is why I recommend all the time you get higher and higher and higher. But from the United States, you still can't see China. You can't. You probably couldn't see Hawaii from mainland United States. Maybe if you were in the highest tower in San Francisco, but I doubt it. I doubt it. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's just, you know, Yeshua, he loves analogies. And I kind of picked that up from him, you know. We were born of the earth, so there's always a curve in our road. There's always a bend on our horizon. We don't see beyond it. But God looks down the straight beam of light, and he sees all the way through eternity. But, so just keep your faith strong, and there's someone who's going to see that straight line for you.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much, Glenda, for explaining that. That's wonderful.
Well, it's simple. It's kind of childlike, but, you know, I learned from the master, and that's the way he teaches.
Yes, keep it simple.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Okay, you work with your friends, and I'm going to take the next question, okay? All right, Tara Kim, you're on.
Hi, Glenda. Hi, everyone. Thanks again so much for the blessings last week. My husband had a great surgery. We had just incredible doctors and nurses, and what was really cool.
I could feel it. I knew you would.
Oh, my gosh.
I really did.
Oh, the doctor said that he would not like my husband would not like him very much by the end of 3 days, until the end of 3 days, and his pain was just so light. I mean, compared to what it was advised, it was just amazing that it was the pain was so much less. So that was a wonderful thing.
Yeah,
so we were very
that
grateful.
Was a heavenly blessing. That was right there.
Oh
got
my gosh,
it.
The whole thing amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah.
The thing that happened was that when we were preparing for the surgery, he got an EKG or an ECG, whatever they do for the heart. And the heart readout said that he possibly had a myocardial infraction in the past. So we don't know anything about that yet. We're going to follow up and stuff. So I would just like to request a blessing for him for managing stress effectively and also support for his heart and his cardiovascular system and whatever may be going on, if there's any damage, that it be healed and stuff too.
You got it. He's got it. We're going to hold him in our love. And, you know, Tarkim, you brought up something. I'm going to offer a blessing to everybody, and that is about stress. Let's get our stress lowered. Let's get our faith elevated and our stress lowered, because there's probably no one thing that damages our body, our heart, and our soul more than stress. Let's get this stress lowered. We've all been in hyper stress for at least 2 years, if not longer. Let's get it down. Even if the problems are not solved, you get the stress down and the problems are going to solve quicker. And your pain is going to be less. And your joy is going to be more. Your recovery will be higher. And also, let me just mention something I read today, because I'm always keeping my eyes alert for messages from God that come in things I read from my fellow humans. Okay, they write, I read, and I see this message from God. Well, this is really interesting, because what I read is that stress builds up lactic acid in our muscles. And lactic acid in our muscles tears down muscle. And as we lose muscle, we don't just feel tired. We really are tired. We are weaker. And as our muscles atrophy from stress, it's very, very hard to build it back. Very hard. One of the greatest chelators for lactic acid is magnesium, and that's it's almost a miracle mineral, because it doesn't hurt anybody, and it helps everybody. Now, there's 7 types of magnesium, and you might want to do a little research on that, because different types of magnesium address different needs in your body, and you know, you might want to be a little more specific in the way you address it, but actually magnesium chelates lactic acid from your muscles and helps your muscles recover better. And in relation to your husband, Tarkim, the heart is the most important muscle in our body.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Yeah. Ooh.
So. Just
appreciate.
Throw that out as a bonus for everybody, and a blessing we're going to offer to everybody here today, and everybody that you know collaterally extending from you. because we all need it. You know, everybody needs that right now. We really do. Okay, we're going to take the next caller. Here we go. Mara. Hello, dear Mara. You're on.
I'm calling to make a very quick. I want to thank all of you for praying for me. And my eye surgery went very well, very successful. I'm still in recovery with it, but they're so encouraged. They tell me that it just keeps getting better. So I'm very grateful for that, and always grateful for all that you do. And I had a friend here yesterday, and she said, do you still line up with or get on with Glenda Green? And I said, I certainly do. I've been doing that for over 20 years now. And she, well, how did you ever get hooked up? So I told her, I said, I'm going to tell you the story very briefly. But anyway, she took down your phone number and how to get the book and everything. So I'm hoping she'll follow through on it, because it certainly has been a real joy in my life and an immense, I can't even begin to describe the difference in my life in the last 20 years. It just is incredible.
Oh, thank you, Mara. And you are a joy in my life. You really, really are. I look forward to every Sunday when you're on the call and say, oh, good, Mara's there.
Yes, last Sunday I missed, but that was understandable. But I think that's the first time I've missed in years. I rarely ever missed a call. Yeah.
We still held you in our prayers.
Oh, I know you do, and I do with you, too. So
okay,
thank you, everyone, and you're all very dear to me.
Oh, well, you're dear to us, and
thank
we just
you.
Want to see you back every Sunday. We love you.
Okay.
We're going to move on, though, because we got to get to our target, and time is moving on. Yeah. Okay.
Hello, Glenda.
Sharon, you're on. Hi.
Hey, it's so good to hear your voice, Glenda.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just have a quick request to put my friend Lynn in the blessing. She went to the hospital this morning with some heart problems, so I figured after hearing what you were saying about everybody being stressed, and I figured she could use it as well as all of us. But her husband had passed away last year. I had put him in the blessing call, and he had died of cancer, and she's been super stressed ever since then.
Oh, sure. I can relate to that.
Yeah, I know you can.
firsthand.
But thank you so much. What's that?
I said firsthand.
Firsthand, yes, you can. So, anyway, she's a really good friend, and I just want to make sure we're taking care of her and everybody else. Her name
What's
is
her name?
Lynn Dean. Lynn.
Lindsay?
And her name is Lynn, and her last name is Dean.
Oh, okay. All right, got it. All right, thank you, Sharon. It's good to hear your voice again, too. I'm going to move on because Nancy, hi.
Hi.
Your voice. Hi.
Thank you. I just wanted to say very quickly that I wish everybody a wonderful Palm Sunday. And I think this week it gives us examples of joyful times that we can celebrate. And having Palm Sunday today is another joyful time to celebrate.
Yeah.
So I just wish everybody a wonderful day and remembrance. So I wanted to say that. But then I also have a request for a blessing for a friend of mine. She lives in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, she's retired. I am, too. And she's moving from Florida to Colorado, where she's building a house and traveling back and forth and doing everything that involves. But she recently had to have Mohs surgery on her face, and it turns out she needs some pretty fancy reconstruction. And so I wanted to ask everybody on the call to hold her in their hearts and to give her a special blessing today, that all of her surgery goes wonderfully and that her transition to Colorado is smooth. And I know other people are on the line and we need to finish up with the request, so I won't take any more time, but just I want to wish you just the most glorious Palm Sunday. Thank you, Glenda.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. And what's her name?
Marlene.
Marlene. Okay.
Uh-huh.
We will have her in our heart and in our prayers.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, and you too, Nancy. And have a wonderful Palm Sunday and a wonderful Holy Week.
Thank you, Glenda. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. Okay, next question. Next caller, and this is Tina. Hello, Tina. And I'm so glad you're on the call because I want to offer blessings for you and your father.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, this is why I came on. I wanted to ask for that. Also, especially for my family, that there's peace and that they would settle disagreements, and you know, it's, I find it so important. And I guess I also want to ask her blessing for myself. I'm really not in a good state myself to travel so far and everything. And yeah, but I think things are going well, so. Thank you so much.
You know, Tina, let me just say something that I think we can all benefit by, and that is that the way to be close to those we love is whatever produces love and peace between us. Sometimes that can be physical closeness, but a physical closeness also encounters social distress. Then it breaks the closeness. Let me give you an example. We are praying for your father's full recovery, back to be with us among the life and the living. I know it was a serious situation he went through, but he will recover. He'll be fine. But I'm going to use a comparison to my mother when she was leaving this world. I make it very brief because I've told the whole story many times. My brother called me during the day when he said, our mother's going to be passing later in the day, and I just wanted to let you know. And he said, don't come here because she's in a coma. She won't know you're here. And just be with your memories of her and with your feelings about her and your love for her. And you can come here in a few days after we get the funerals scheduled and take care of yourself because that's what she would want for you. So that was a very, very good message from my brother. So I did exactly that. I got in touch with my mother spiritually and emotionally, and I had this wonderful remembrance of my childhood and all the great times we had, and I felt her be with me. And I was actually with her closer than if I had gone physically there to be with her in the hospital with all the nurses coming in and out, the relatives coming in and out, some people crying, some people wringing their hands and saying, oh, I wish I'd said that to her. Oh, I wish I'd done that. Oh, my goodness. You know, I can think of all the things that would have been going on there in the hospital room, but instead I was in the peace of my heart, and that's where my mother would have wanted me, and that's where I was able to be with her the most. So I'll say this to you, not just about people who are making your transition, but anybody you love who's going through hardship. Maybe the best thing is not to be with them physically, because you encounter all the problems. If you can help solve the problems, that's different. That's a good thing to do. But if you can't solve the problems, if you just be enmeshed in the problems, be where you can give your loved one strength. That's what they need. Be where you can give your loved one love. That's what they need. Where you can give your loved one faith and hope. That's what they need. Okay? And if you understand this, you don't have any reservations or doubts about where you need to be. So, Tina, I think you're being exactly where you need to be right now. And the situation may change in the coming days, weeks, or months. But for now, I think you're doing exactly what you need to do. So we'll offer blessings for you to be strong and for your father to recover and be himself fully again.
Thank you so much. That was exactly what I needed to hear. I can...
Yeah, and I wish you a wonderful Holy Week. And I'm going to close with that, because let every day of this week for you being a progression toward Easter, the resurrection, the joy, and the transcendence of life into eternal life. Let us just hold that as our promise from our Heavenly Father. And walk the path toward transcendent life as we go through every step of the Holy Week. And know, I just give you right now a promise. Just know that Yeshua did this out of the greatest amount of love, conviction, dedication, and positive creation. There was nothing negative that happened this week. Not even the betrayal of Judas. It was a setup. It needed to happen as a symbolic gesture that would be overcome by his crucifixion and resurrection. Okay? Just wait to hear the full story next week. So next week I'm going to have the floor all to myself, and just know that a blessing will be given to each one of you as needed. But it may take the whole time to get the whole story delivered, because the whole story needs to be delivered in order for you to understand. There have been so many misunderstandings about the crucifixion and the resurrection. And I ask Yeshua if he could give me more understanding that I may give it to you. So be here next week. I really encourage you to. And if you can't, then listen to the recording. All right, everybody, let's get on with our blessing today. Just be relaxed in your seat. Oh, just a moment. I want to change we're going to go on. All right, good. All participants except for me, because I need to talk. Okay, and I am just a participant, my loved ones, you know. I have had the pleasure of being with him in a confirmed way, but you're with him always. In a way you don't always see, you don't always understand or hear, but he's with you, just the same as me, no different. Okay, let's get on with this. Let's get on with bringing more joy, more hope, more faith, more blessings into your life. Just be relaxed. I want you to take a very deep breath and hold it for 4 seconds. And I want you to release it for 4 seconds. Take another deep breath and hold it for 4 seconds. Release it for 4 seconds. Let's do that again. Deep breath. 4 seconds. 4 seconds to release. deep breath. 4 seconds. 4 seconds to release. Now just shake out. Make sure your body is fully relaxed. No arms or legs crossed. Shoes off. Seated, reclining, comfortable position. Your head uncovered, unless it's a sacred ritual for you. And I will offer my invitation to your Yeshua on behalf of us all. Dear Yeshua, our brother, Lord of life, Son of God, we thank you for being with us in all of our days, our good days to bring us joy, our troubled days to bring us hope and faith, our days when we don't know where we're going to bring us light on the pathway that we may see a little further ahead of where we are. On our painful days to bring us comfort. On our days of grief to bring us peace and assurance that nothing is ever lost and no one is ever lost. All souls are found. All souls are rejoined. And we are one family forever. We ask that you heal the sick, that you lift up the hopeless, that you give faith to the discouraged, that you hold the children with love and give them someone who will love them and care for them. We ask that you protect the wildlife, the animals, and our beloved earth and our wonderful plant life. That you clean the waters and sustain our earth. That we may have a more perfect home in which to live. We ask all of these things, knowing that you have already given them, but we ask to receive, that we may be personally blessed by all of these gifts you have given to life. We now surrender to receive your blessing with open heart, open arms, and souls reaching to heaven. Amen. Blessing givers, will you please join me? Your blessing has been given. Be blessed. Now, you should go and rest for at least 7 minutes in your bed, or just relax where you are. Better to stretch out. And it's okay if you fall asleep. Just don't think. Don't think. Don't form any words, which means you probably shouldn't pray. Just be. Be a blank slate upon which the blessings of God can be written. The Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.